am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up eating rice.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, if you shoot a little flim the bitch, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I wouldn't dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't. It wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Welcome back with another edition of Steve Tavares is Angry. I'm Steve Tavares. That is me. And I'm just angrier than normal. And I'm just going to just like, let's just go right into it, right? And you're probably thinking, what? Some guy from the East Bay's running for president? I never heard of him. I heard of Kamala Harris. Joe Biden got in the race. I know him. Good old Uncle Joe. Creepy Joe. I know this guy, Beto. I know this guy, I can't pronounce his name. I know all these people. Dude, who's this guy? Eric Swalwell. What? Is he from... Oh, he's from Dublin. Oh, I don't go there much. I don't go to, except I go to Stone Ridge sometimes, but I don't know much about the Tri-Valley. This is apparently what's going on. I really didn't think, as a guy who has been following Eric Swalwell from day one, and I had learned early that you don't underestimate him, so I was following that precedent. Boy, what a joke, though. It's just turned out President Swalwell, the campaign is a mess. What a joke. It is a complete joke. And if you don't believe it, just look at what's going on in that district, in the 15th district, which is like Castro Valley. Hayward is big there. Half of Fremont, basically. And the Tri-Valley. That's the area. Eric Swalwell says, I'm running for president, and I'm going to give up my seat. Apparently, nobody believes him except one person, Hayward council member Aisha Wahab, who's absolute star in the making if she's not already a star. I'd edit that out. She already is a star. I've actually seen nobody like Aisha Wahab ever in 10 years. Write that down. 10 years of doing this. Next month, 10 years of doing this. Never seen anybody. You could say somebody came on a splash like Eric Swalwell, but Eric Swalwell didn't do jack when he was on Dublin City Council. So this is somebody that's in a trajectory possibly that's we may have never seen. But she's in it. So she says, I believe him. But I think it's very telling. Nobody's getting in the race. Nobody is getting in the race because they know he's coming back because this is a freaking joke of a presidential campaign. What a joke. He's making a fool of himself, and I cannot believe it. So I hear people going around. It's like, makes me think, if I wasn't around, the only one left writing about politics in the East Bay, what the hell would they be saying? One person says one thing, and everybody's else going to copy it. I can't tell you how many phone conversations out on the street, out on the beat, where people say, "Yeah, no, he's trying to get a job in administration or something. I don't know, ambassador, attorney general of California, state senate." I don't believe it. He is not angling for nothing. He better not be angling for anything, because I'll tell you what. He's going into this presidential campaign with the likelihood, very high likelihood, of coming out much worse. He's going to come out looking like a freaking joke. And let me see. Is America seeing what Steve Tavares has been seeing since 2011 when it comes to this guy. Since we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the East Bay Citizen, here's one of my favorite stories. It was something that I was doing back then, a Sunday column, and so it came out on Sundays. And I wrote about Eric Swalwell, January 20th, 2013. So that's about 2.5 weeks after he first was sworn into Congress for the first time. And it was called The Makings of a Media Whore. I called it. The East Bay's pubescent congressman discovered very early in his low-budget campaign to unseat the far more financed Pete Stark that free advertising by the way of a complacent and enamored local media was the only way to effectively get out his message. Such leaning on the media for a free ride, however, well, it worked in getting the 32-year-old Swalwell to Congress may have had a corrosive effect going forward, especially since it seems to only encourage his already apparent predilection toward campy or strained publicity stunts. If the first few weeks of Swalwell's era in Congress are any indication, he is showing the makings of an enormous media hog willing to put his face in front of any camera while provocatively baiting well-known conservative bullies to sweep him before their enormous audiences. Is that not what happened? Is that not what happened? I would drop this mic right now, but it costs too much money. That's what he did. That's how he got himself to this position. Being on TV all the time. And now attacking gun owners. Attacking regular conservative people out there. That's exactly what he did. I called it. That is all he is. And so why didn't the people around here that you give $2, is that the cost of the Chronicle? Or the $2 to the East Bay Tower? Why did these people not see that when I did? I saw clearly through this guy. Why didn't they? I had a feeling this was going to happen when the more actually fair national media, they don't give a damn about California. They don't give a damn about Dublin. They don't give a damn about Hayward. They don't care. It's just like, you can have like the Oakland Athletics could be having a fight in their locker room, but the local beat guys, they're not going to write about it because they'll get a phone call from the A's, the editor saying, hey, you better watch that. We're going to pull your press pass, right? But when the guy from Sports Illustrated drops in or something, somebody from outside, a national media drops in and sees that, they're free. They don't give a damn. They're free to write whatever the truth they want. And that's what's going on here. All these media outlets are figuring out Eric Swalwell is nothing there. Nothing there. And he's got nothing still. So when that heat comes down, what's he say? Oh, spoiler alert, I'm a white guy. He tweets that. What is going on here? I mean, he has a consultant I've talked about before who I think is just the worst. The worst. Anybody that gives this lady, Lisa Tucker, business around here, I give side eyes that come out from my right side, come back on my left, go all the way around. Major side eyes. Like, what for? And then this is the quote unquote chief strategist of the Swalwell for President campaign. So they need money, right? They need actually donors, no matter how much they give. So immediately their idea out the gate, give us a dollar. Give us a dollar. It reminds me of the A's a couple years ago when they had Dollar Wednesdays. A's fans out there, remember that? Dollar Wednesdays, the ticket was a dollar. It was a dollar for a hot dog. And so they had that for like the whole season. And then they had it for another season. And a marketing person said, I can't even believe what the hell they're doing here. I mean, you could do that for a little while. But after a while, you're telling the customers, this is all a baseball game is worth, $1. So good luck trying to, charge them the regular price or more, like $20 for the worst seat. Good luck. You just told them for like 2-3 years that $1 is what this is worth. And that's what this campaign's doing. Lisa Tucker, genius. That's genius. Support Eric Swalwell. I'm worth a dollar. That's brilliant. Brilliant. She's the worst. Can't believe anybody hires this person. And she's a chief strategist. She is essentially she's essentially Swalwell's brain. She's Karl Rove. Yeah, good luck. Hilarious. But what is going on with this campaign? What is the point here? There isn't seem to be a point. This guy doesn't want anything else. He really thinks he's going to be the president. Somebody needs to check him like a psychiatric examination. Like, what are you doing here? This is just my reading of this campaign. But I think this is what happened. And so I think it's original sin that they're, don't know what the hell they're doing. Because I think the plan was to continue doing what he had been doing, which is attack Trump, attack Trump, attack Trump. Then the Mueller report comes out, or the Barr report at that moment, and it doesn't look so good. He looks like he's got egg on his face. No collusion, right? No collusion. And so that's like 2 weeks before he announces, all of a sudden he's telegraphing he's going to announce to run for president. It's going to be about gun safety now. That just totally said to me, he just flipped at the very last moment. 2 years of planning this, at the very last moment, he flipped the script. He took a second or the third issue he was going to run on, and he put it to number one, because number one was clearly not going to look so hot. Now, recently, maybe the last week, 10 days, you see him more talking about Trump on TV, and he's on TV back again talking about that. But gun safety, it's like one of those things like, you know, for the children. Really? That's a good line for a politician. Who's against the children, right? Who's against gun safety? Nobody. Do Americans think that one guy, the president, with a divided Congress maybe, is going to be able to do anything different? No. It's ridiculous to be going with that issue. Number one issue. Because if people are completely jaded. They don't think anything's going to happen with that, no matter what. Not even Jesus could come down and change that fact, right? So the funny thing is, this guy, Pete Buttigieg, he comes out, he's about the same age as Eric. He is about as white as Eric. He have the same hairdo as Eric. They're probably the same height. The only difference is Pete Buttigieg is out of the closet. And like, is Eric saying, like, damn it, should have said I was gay. I mean, is that, if you're thinking that, what kind of campaign you got going on there? Ah, damn it. I wish I was a black lady. I would have been so much better. Erica Swalwell. Like, this guy is freaking amazing. This Buttigieg. But this guy comes out, he's doing sign language. He's speaking French out of nowhere. He's like grabbing Rubik's cubes. I'm thinking like one or two at a time, like boom. Done. And people are paying attention to him, that he's not going to be anywhere in a year from now. Don't worry about it. But right now, he's getting that heat. He's getting that attention. People are getting juiced. That's what I thought Eric might be able to do. Pete Buttigieg is just ruining it for Eric. That's the space Eric is supposed to be at, and Buttigieg has just got it, and I don't see him losing any steam. I mean, Buttigieg could be at 7%. He's still going to be flying. Lock down that position, that centrist, white boy, Midwest position, and he's not going to give that up. I don't know what's going to go on. So, everybody around here, where's Bob Witkowski, the state senator who says he's going to form an exploratory committee? Where's the exploratory committee? Nobody else is coming forward except Aisha Wahab. So, what's going on? People know. People know that this is a sinking ship, and it's only been, what, 3 weeks? And that he's coming back. Like, he's like suggested December, right? I don't even think he's going to make September. So, you know what? Anyway, let's we'll get real angry here now. In Alameda a couple weeks ago, we had a special election that was a big waste of time. What another freaking joke. And I just want to say those people that were behind basically the most unchristian thing I've ever heard. stomping on seniors that are homeless and all seniors and all homeless, period. Alameda, thankfully, passed a special election measure that affirmed a new homeless senior center, wellness center, for seniors and for other people who are homeless, come and help them and, you know, and help others, like a respite center, help you, you know, with little, you know, if you're homeless and you, you know, you have a little, you know, some kind of wound or something, you need a bandage fixed, you go there. Help yourself out. But people around there, they didn't want anything to do with homeless people. Like, they were going to bother them. There was going to be a shanty town, they were saying. And it was just lies after lies after lies. It was the worst thing ever. And for a reporter to say somewhat objective, there's no pure objectivity, but to say somewhat objective, it was impossible because there was no facts to this. It was a complete waste of time. Nobody was talking about this at all. And God damn it, God. But they lost. And the senior center will go forward. But I started thinking about, there's such an egregious, mean-spirited act that I kind of think like the mayor, Marilyn Izzy Ashcraft, who was against these folks who were trying to block the senior wellness center. She was against it, right? But I actually think it was warranted to be very firm to call these people out. These people should be pariahs in this community, if they aren't already. It's just unconscionable. What in the world is a use for a community if you can't take care of the weakest? And this is the weakest of all. They're freaking seniors. So it's no surprise that they wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't talk to anybody else because they had nothing to say. They wasted $500,000 of the city taxpayers' money on a measure that nobody wanted, and that was not needed. For what? Out of spite? And this is something that we see all over. As I've called in other podcasts, this is the progressive segregationist in the East Bay. So progressive. Oh, we're so good. We're such great. Black Lives Matter, bro. Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Right. But we don't want a senior center. And we don't want to put affordable housing in Berkeley. And we don't want to put it in San Leandro, right next to BART station, because it's kind of close to a neighborhood of, you know, old-time San Leandrans. And we don't want to put the navigation center for homeless in Hayward because they're gonna bother my business out in the boonies off Depot Road by 92. This is not a surprise. So look in the mirror, East Bay. I don't know what to do. I was in Castro Valley and just having a conversation with somebody after a housing for Castro Valley. Half mile from Castro Valley BART. Church wants to put 199 units, and there's already pushback for what? Oh, too much traffic over there. Oh, there's this, and everybody's got excuses. And I'm like, I'm just tired of it. I am absolutely tired of it. And I start pushing back in a mean way. I hear this everywhere, I told the lady. Oh, but you know, it's different here, you know. It's not near the downtown. It's a half mile. I walked to Trader Joe's from my house. It's longer than that in Alameda. It's not a big deal. It's downtown. And if it's not, if your idea of downtown is right next to the Castro Valley, on the Castro Valley Boulevard, is that you're right next to the, the KFC, the McDonald's, the Burger King, the Jack in the Box, the Taco Bell. What other fast foods they got there? If you want to count the Starbucks, the two Starbucks, is that what's downtown? What about the one next to Trader Joe's, a half mile the other way by the BART station? I mean, SB50, Scott Wiener, are you looking at that? Because this is the kind of stuff that your bill needs to highlight to get done. Build more housing towards near transit. And you're talking to the wrong guy when this issue, if you're against it, because I'm the George Jefferson. I have the George Jefferson theory, the moving on up theory about housing. I don't even care if it's a transit. Just keep going to the sky, man. Because if it was good for George and Weezy, it's good enough for me. It should be good enough for you. Moving on up. Deluxe apartment in the sky. It was good for them. Hey, Alameda over here. There should be like a, 30-story apartment building. Hell yeah. I'll be in the penthouse. I'll be looking down. Say, hey. I'll be yelling at you. Hey, you. You guys that hate homeless people? Homeless grandmas? No, you're wrong, man. Drop some water balloons on it. Who knows if it's water inside or not. It's just, I think they should have been called out. I don't want to be terroristic, but what these people in Alameda tried to do would embarrass us no end. The place, we would have been laughingstocks. Alameda, oh, didn't Tavares write a story about them being so progressive now? And now they're against homeless people, right? What a would have been embarrassment of all time. I would leave. I started telling people I'm from Milpitas. That's how bad. That's how low. You say you're from Vallejo instead of Alameda. That's how embarrassed you are. Because nobody would say that. Milpitas? Hell no. Hell no. It's just in the name. Milpitas sounds so nasty. Why would you even want to live there? It smells too. Garbage, man. Anyway, we need to be nicer to people, and I believe we should be meaner to people. So if I see you on the street and you tell me you vote against the homeless people, you better watch out. Better watch out. I'm going to get that guy who walks around here and gives me dirty looks, that little dwarf guy. I'm going to get him on you. You better watch your ankles.
Said from the first, I am the worst. Kind of
I'm Steve Tavares, and I'm angry. And don't forget to go to ebcitizen.com. Check out all the stories. You can also find EBC stories on the East Bay Express each week, every Wednesday, in the 7 days column. And one last thing, I'm going to give a little remembrance to former San Leandro Mayor Tony Santos, who, after he was out of office, became a real good friend of mine. And I hate to see him. He's gone and passed away last week. And I just want to say that, if you're not friendly with me and writing about politics and I seem like I'm against you, don't worry. One day we'll be friends. Because I was pretty tough on Tony Santos when I first started, 2010. And once he was out of office, I learned a lot of stuff from him, a lot of the history of San Leandro. And I do believe that whatever can be done to honor him for, generations should be done. He is one of the great progressives of this era, and the stuff that he did for fairness. I was talking about earlier, these progressive segregationists, well, they weren't progressive, but they've always been segregationists around here, and they were in San Leandro. And Tony Santos didn't go around say, Black Lives Matter, and we need to fix these covenants who in our homeowners, agreements. That forbid you from black people living, buying, home ownership in San Leandro. He didn't say it to be cool and think like, oh, this is a guilty white guy who's finally coming around, right? Like how it seems to be, that's kind of how it is, right? Black Lives Matter, hey. But when black kids walk down the street, you go on the other side, right? Black Lives Matter, you phony. But that wasn't Tony Santos. Tony Santos didn't care about that. He cared about fairness. It was unfair what was going on to African American people, Latinos, anybody. He pushed for inclusion of Asian Americans in the political process. And that's paying off now. So it wasn't just about fairness. That's why I respect him. That's all it was, fairness. This just ain't right. And I ain't trying to be cool. I ain't trying for you to like me. It's unfair, and I'm going to fix it. And he did. And I'll tell you, if the lack of diversity is evil, then San Leandro shows that you will get your comeuppance and real quick. Because it was 99.9% white people in that city two generations ago. And now it's like evenly diverse. One of the most diverse places in America. Next week, I'll be with Jim Parola, former San Leandro City Council member, who actually was appointed to the seat that Tony Santos gave up to become mayor in 2008. And we're going to have a whole show. We're going to talk about Tony Santos. And, the good and the bad and the ugly. But in the meantime, I'm Steve Tavares, and I'm angry. And you should be too.